Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Okay, 657 Medium Wave, Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. Mpo, I don't know what's happening on your side there, but somehow we seem to have lost the sound. I don't know. We've lost the sound altogether. Altogether.
News. Our Hazeldene branch will be relocated
all right
to Linton's Corner Shopping Center.
There we go. We lost the sound. I don't know what happened there, Mpo, on the other side. Anyway, we trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. Thank you so much to Johan Els. He's coming back tomorrow, man. Hey, holding it tight, you know, even during the Workers' Day on the 1st of May. Yes, if we talk about dedication, we talk about Johan Els. Right, and we are together throughout. And this is taking place up to 8 o'clock. Let me welcome our guests. They're already on the line. I hope they are audible. Muruti Samuel Kabamba, greetings.
Greetings, sir. Thank you very much for having us again tonight. We are so blessed in this day. I'd like to greet everyone, those who will be following us tonight, and greet Muruti Muraka. And thank you very much to you, Muruti Ray, and Reza Kofi.
I hope you're well, sir.
We are fine. It was a workers' day, and we rest a bit.
You did rest a bit. You didn't run today.
No, I ran in the morning.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Okay. Yeah, was just checking.
Yeah, I did run in the morning. Yeah.
Busy with our sound on the other side. It's messing us a big time around. It's really messing us a big time around. We can't hear ourselves, and we can't play ads. We can't do anything. I don't know what's happening. Maybe Mpo will help us there. I will try and play the song and see. It's still the same. Still the same. Let me try again. I wanted to play this. This is the music of the Singletons. Johan, listen to this one. Savior, Lord, and King, followed by Sounds of Blackness, I Believe. Enjoy.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
Great song indeed there. This is the music of Sounds of Blackness, I Believe. It says, believe in the power within you, and Christ is that power. Hey, yeah, man. Why don't you believe that He's in you? He is within you. He lives in you. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. All right, the time has just gone 18 over the hour, I think now. We are quite fine. We are quite fine. And technically, we are well. And, of course, our guests are on the line. We trust the Father is just doing you good. Blessing you so much in a mighty way, you and I. The best of friends, man. And, of course, tonight we are going to touch on something quite interesting. You know, we are going to be looking at vanities appearing as the gospel. And what are those that we see these days? Vanities that are appearing as the gospel. You know, vanities that would come about and they would be as if they are the gospel. You know, an emptiness of a sort that comes about, that would appear as if it is a gospel, you know, an emptiness of some form that comes across and would appear as if it is a gospel. It is something we are going to look into and touch on. And I trust that as we do so, the Father will just bless you so much in a mighty way. As we touch on that. Now, I want to look into the notion of truth, as to what the truth is, and of course also what that which is not the truth is, and what the word says and what the word does not say. First and foremost, you know, what appears as truth would look as something that is truth, especially when it is spoken by these enigmatic people these days. Let me welcome our guests. Let me start with Muruti Muraka and re-welcome them again. Muruti, greetings to you.
Yes, greetings, my brother. Thanks for welcoming us again.
Yeah, I had to, man. We had some technicalities here.
Yes. We thank God that the technical impediment have been removed.
Yes, of course.
We are able to converse well.
Mm.
And yeah, greetings to Muruti Kabamba. Greetings to the listeners of Radio Pulpit. We always greet in the name of the Anointed One, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, also, let me also welcome Pastor Samuel Kabamba. Greetings to you, Muruti, and welcome, Sam.
Yeah, thank you very much, and we are very blessed to be here on a work day. We are so blessed for whatever God is doing for us. Honor be to Muruti Muraka, and greet you as well again. And also, I mean, everyone that's a bit up of this program tonight.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence, Muruti. We really, really appreciate. We really, really appreciate, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And, of course, we are talking about vanities that appear as real. You know, in other words, some forms of deceptions that we see prevalent in our midst these days, some form of falsehoods that we see as really the incumbents of a time we are in. We are looking into that. And, of course, also as to things that are called uncertainties, you know, those things which are brought on to us to believe in, and somewhat somehow they are questionable and doubtful. It is what we are talking about tonight. So my scope is very vast, so I would be narrowing in into anything but to actually bring about the vastness, which means I will be picking up from all corners, if possible, of these kinds of deceptions, these vanities that appear as the real gospel. I'll be touching on that very much so. Now, it is amazing that the word is saying to us in Psalms 146 verses 3, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help." Now, I'm saying this because I have heard people singing, "This is our Papa, Bishop Waruna. It is our Papa, Sifanawe," outside of a court, where the person would be charged with some of the atrocities that I wouldn't mention. And I have seen people who say, and heard of people who say, and some people have written to me while sitting here and telling me to stop talking what I'm talking about, especially when I said that someone says, "I greet you in the name of my Papa, or in the God of my Major One. I greet you in the God of my Major One." And my issue is, do you know this person? And then I'm confronted with this verse that says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help." Okay. Let's leave that alone and let me just jump over to the other side. We have heard that when you are not having money, you're not blessed. And many people have been saying that, you know, and the narrative of the Gospels of the time would be the father has blessed you, and then they were showing up for it by showing the cars that they have, the pearls that their wives are wearing, the diamond rings and the history of the trips they've taken overseas, especially to the USA. I don't know what they're looking for there. And they basically would be saying, okay, I remember a friend of mine, it's a friend of a guy who was my pastor long ago, and I was a producer at the SABC. As a young guy, 21-year-old, I was just a producer, and I was tasked to document him. He was from what? He is from Limpopo, what we call Limpopo today, what we used to call Gazankulu. Now, when I said, how are you doing? And then he would say, well, I am doing well after having traveled all the world and seen people. Everywhere I had gone, people are just the same. So I'm well. They're just the same. The only difference is that others are tall, others are short. And he'd be giving such a long answer. And this 21-year-old boy who is behind the machines would actually not be so keen to listen to that, which I thought was quite irritating. To say that instead of just saying, I am fine, I'm well, by the grace of the Most High, greetings to you, welcome. And to take a long story and speak about the flights you've been in, the countries you've been in, and you start to talk about, you know, being in Russia and St. Petersburg and all those kinds of things and stuff. Oh, of course, which is nice. But basically, boasting, and I'm not talking about him now, but I'm talking about in general, basically speakers boasting about their monies, boasting about their wealth. I heard this other guy saying some years ago, I won't be called dollar just to have or just to be equal to a dollar bill. And the crowd was laughing and jumping up and down and was preaching prosperity then. How much you put money into this and stuff, and how much the father will give you if you put money. I mean, Chirons, if you know Chirons are those messages that are running across the screen when someone is talking. We call them Chirons. And he basically had been talking and even others would be talking, and there's that thing that would say, SMS, what, and then you put this, and the father will do you. See what the father will do to you. Psalm 23, verses 5 says, will you set your eyes on which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. And that's the word from the Most High. Riches grow themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. But this is not spoken. And then you also see, amongst other things, the projectorates. Let me call them that because of a lack of a better word. Those who project into tomorrow. I've been listening to Pastor Sam on Friday night and then even on Wednesday, where he was saying none of the people would even really speak about the coming of the COVID. Actually, he says someone also had claimed to have been there in the year 2021. Is it year 2020 or year 21? And then has said to a crowd, I've been there. The father took me there. And I looked at that clip. He said, it took me to September, October, to August. He says, and it was fine. And people were happy and happy and happy. And if you look at those months, people were dying. Statistics were running all over the TV. It was so depressing. You know, the media, really, and the people who control the media, really made a mess of us then, you know, by traumatizing and naturalizing death. And so none had spoken about having gone there, you know. None had spoken about having gone there. No one. And these are what I call the projectorates, those who speak about the future. Psalm 27, verses 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow. And we see people who act as if they're promoting the gospel or speaking the gospel, or this is the good news, and they're boasting about tomorrow. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And we saw those things. We saw the straight contradiction of Scripture with regards to that. All right. And yet, I don't know if this is also the case that maybe my colleagues would... I don't even qualify to be their colleagues, man. But I know that they will perhaps elaborate on this. And I am looking at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 24. I'll come back to this of the futurist, the people, the projectorates. I will come to that. It's not a real word. Okay. In James chapter 4, verse 14, James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. And that was proof. 2020-2021 has proven this. Even though people have said they had traveled into the future, which means they were translated into the future, and they saw the glory of the Father, nothing happening and people being fine. They never spoke about police coming for them and them skipping countries and all that, running out. No, no. They just saw that which they said. And people kept on giving money. Now, here's another one. Because people basically had gone on to project the earthly glory. It's visible also in the prosperity teachings in all their forms. Contrary to the word, of course. And emphasizing an earthly glory. 1 Peter 1:24 says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. Yet contrary to this is or are messages that we kept on hearing quite a long time. So we are touching on that. We trust the Father is blessing you so much in a mighty way. These vanities which appear as the gospel is our topic tonight.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
All right, welcome to it. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. This is Radio Pulpit.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
There you go. And of course, let me start with you, Muruti Mraka. So much appears as the gospel today. And so much excites the hearing ear, the itching ear. But these are just vanities as we hear, yet still propagated with so much force and so much rebuke and reproof from the preaching community. It's quite sad. What comes to mind, sir?
Yeah, thank you, my brother. Right at the outset, what one would like to do is, as many of the times, to just define that when we talk of something that is a vanity, it is something that is futile, which is worthless. It is also something which is ineffectual, ineffective. It is devoid of purpose and produce. In other words, it's like useless. It doesn't present itself that way. It presents itself oppositely. However, as far as the Word of God is concerned, it has no valuable purpose, and it does not produce, because everything that Yudhavavi Elohim makes, he makes with a purpose. He makes so that that should be profitable, should produce. Let me give an example. A tree was made by Elohim to grow and produce fruit. If it is not producing fruit, it is futile, it is worthless. And the other synonym is emptiness. Is, and you mentioned it earlier on.
Yes.
Now, having said that, and as you were giving examples, it is examples of things that are presented as though they are helpful to us. Yet, actually, the end thereof is futility, is this worthlessness. Now, there are some examples in the Word of God which were given of things that are futile. And I think in definition, we can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 15. And this is what is said in that verse. Then he appointed for himself priests for the high places, for the demons and the calf idols which he had made. It is talking about a a king here,
mm.
King Rehoboam. And it talks about him having demons and calf idols. Now, calf idols, they were those calves which were made, and these calves were worshipped. They were sacrificed to. And that's another thing when you talk about vanity, because an idol is a vanity, and I will also show that.
Yes.
In Psalm 24. Psalm 24 says this. And I'm looking at verse 3 downward. Who may ascend into the holy, into the hill of Yud-Heh-Vaveh? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, when you go to the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew, the verses where I read idol,
yes,
in those in the Septuagint, the Greek, it says the vanity. So it shows us that what was understood was an idol is a vanity. Now, there is also in Acts a story which we are told there in Acts about Paul when they were preaching the gospel in the towns which are in Achaia, which are Greek towns. And I'm going to go to Acts chapter 14 and just start verse 1 just to give you an understanding. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so articulated that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But then some of the Jews now became jealous, and then they started making trouble for Paul. And then they had to leave that place called Iconium in verse 6. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were gospelizing there. They were delivering the true gospel. And in Lystra, a certain man without ability in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's abdomen who had never walked. This man heard Paul articulating. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be saved, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And this man leaped and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, asserting in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of human beings." And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, intending to sacrifice with the multitude. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the crowd, crying and asserting, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are human beings with the same nature as you, and gospelize to you that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he worked good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with nourishment and gladness." And with these assertions, they could barely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Now, you see, a vanity is an idol. And an idol is something which you can visualize. Now, you will hear that when they saw the miracle, they associated these men with their idols. That's why they even called them those names, which are actually demons. And what did they do? They felt compelled to sacrifice. So, in these days, we may say, no, we don't have cups. We don't have statues of those Greek or Roman gods. But there are still things which are being visualized. And you gave examples of those. Wealth, just wealth, visualizing wealth as something that the gospel is. And I'm talking about a natural wealth, that the gospel is concerned about natural wealth, to give us this natural wealth in this corrupt world during this dark eon. That is a vanity, because the Messiah said, "What shall it profit a man to gain all the world and lose his soul?" What did Paul see when he was looking at that man? He didn't. The scriptures don't say he saw his face, that he was ready to be healed. It says to be saved. Because the gospel is looking at our hearts to be changed the way the Father wants our hearts to be changed. And lastly, our bodies will follow the heart, not the other way around.
I hear you.
But a gospel that will present tangible things, material things, is more important. That gospel is presenting vanity.
Right.
And in my introduction, my brothers, I would like to close or conclude by going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which says, verse 3, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also took along, that Christ died on behalf of our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures."
Correct.
And then verse 14 says, And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. And then verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. The true gospel is showing us that we were lacking. We were enemies. And it's only through Yeshua HaMashiach, through his sacrifice, him being sacrificed, that we are saved. And being saved in our spirit, we should walk in obedience so that our souls will also be saved. And of course, then our bodies will follow through. Right. And of course, the glory of God's wealth, his inheritance, we will gain. Because that is the promise. It's what we are hoping for at the end. Not here. If by chance somebody gets to have the wealth of the world while they are following Christ, it's not for them to see that wealth as theirs. It's coming as a tool, as an instrument to be used to propagate the true gospel. Therefore, we can't make tools and instruments the focus. Once we do that, it is vanity, because the gospel is about there's only one who died and he resurrected. Oh. And that gives us the very purpose of our being here. And we are not expected to sacrifice to be sorted out. We only sacrifice thanksgiving as appreciating what has happened.
Okay, I hear you quite well. The time has just gone on to 9 minutes before 7 o'clock. We are talking about vanities that appear as a gospel today.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of Life.
Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo kwabo banhliziyo zidakumbileyo. Simamele kwi app okanye utyelele uradiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
All right, Pastor Sam, let me bring this to you also. When we talk about the very notion of that which appears as real, you know, vanities that appear as real. Now, I touched on some of the aspects there, which basically would be indicative of some form, and Pastor Maraka rightfully labeled it also as emptiness. He labeled it as emptiness. But I touched on some of the aspects which I think we really need to look into, and these are the uncertainties. Now, the aspect of people boasting about tomorrow, people boasting about their own beauty. And the word saying in Proverbs 31:10, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Elohim shall be praised. And today it is the other way around. It is the praising of beauty and the shunning of the Elohim. And people are speaking riches And people are actually even making promises to people and saying, don't worry, May will be a good month for you. I've been there. I've been at the 28th of May. I've seen what is happening. Don't worry. We are going there and stuff. What comes to mind, Professor?
Yeah, thank you very much for this question. You know, it's so sad to see that a lot of us, we don't really pay attention to what the gospel truly says. Because it's so amazing to find out that even the people who have gone ahead of us, when you start following them carefully, try to understand a bit of what they taught for years, just to realize that there are a lot of mistakes, there are a lot of errors that have been introduced, a lot of, I mean, I think that do not really glorify Elohim at all. When you ask yourself the question, are these people really, are they really reading the Bible, or are they reading the Bible, or the whatever they're doing, are they doing it, I mean, deliberately? You ask questions like that. Mm. Are they doing it deliberately? Are they blinded? And then it becomes a problem, especially for the small people. It becomes a problem for people who are, you know, when you've been following someone who is a big name for years, you know, mm. been following them, that today they come and tell you that that this person that you've been following for years is not, I mean, he hasn't really been speaking the truth. Mm. But everything been told was not true. And I know how difficult it is for people to just come to disconnect from those people and move on and become real to themselves. As Maurice Mekas said, vanity has everything to do with excessive pride, you know, trying to bring something that is not. Mm. You know, Solomon had to bring us to a place whereby, hey, you know, whatever you're doing, like, if the Father is not involved, it's just vanity. And it's whatever you do, if it's for your own interest, if it is for your own belly, you know that it's just vanity. Because there's nothing that you can do that will stand the test of time, if not preaching the gospel, if not presenting the truth that happened to the gospel. Mm. You know, today, why are we today coming to know that many of our leaders, they've become so proud in such a way that whatever they bring across nowadays, it seems to be spiritual and biblical standards. But when you find, when you go and try to read and try, you see that they become so selective in terms of the which verse to use in order to cover their tracks. And that is not really good. Mm. It's not really good at all. You know, you gave an example of some of the people in 2019 that happened to prophesy for 2020. They spoke about how the year 2020 will be a very great year. And that was a very year that a lot of men that we used to respect somehow I lost respect for many of them. Because not because they say things that did not come to pass, but just because they never come back to apologize. Because the whole debate was not because we are human. You can say something, and if it does not come to pass, you know, you need to be strong and you need to be bold enough, courageous enough to come and say, hey, I said something, it did not come to pass, I'm sorry. But you know, none of them came to ask for forgiveness, or none of them came to repent, and so on. It is to show that they're taking the people of God to the line. No respect whatsoever. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying something in the book of Acts 20, that's from verse 28. He says something very important. He says that take care and be on guard for yourselves. And the flock, and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishops and guardians to shepherd or to tend and feed and guide the church of the law or of God which he obtained for himself. One thing I need to know is the church that we have been put somehow, if we've been appointed, that church, nobody has died for that church to make us become the God of those churches. Because the Father himself, he paid the price for himself to purchase that church or to buy that church somehow. And then he said, I put you in charge. You have been appointed to guide, to take care of it, not to become the boss, not to become someone who will direct that church the way you want. No, you need to follow the instruction that are coming from above. And most of our leaders today, in whatever area, we found that, especially for Christians, people don't have any more time to consult the Father or to consult the Holy Spirit in order to bring up something that will be of a benefit to the people of God. But nowadays, it's about capitalizing on the number, not on quality per se, but on quantity. They don't even care what will happen to the people. What they care about is what they're going to gain from that. And they are prepared to bring whatever verse that they can find that can cover their tracks, that they can justify their ways of taking something from the people. A lot of men of God have become so greedy. Whatever they do, it's not about Christ to be formed into the people, but it's about people becoming their own disciples. You know, I've been trying to reason a bit. It says, if today you say something wrong about the future, being on social media or whatever, you'll be so shocked to see how people come blazing on you. They will want to tell you, that's our man of God. You cannot touch it. Don't touch the anointed man of God. The Bible says, do not touch a man of the anointed man of God and do not harm them. But they do not really understand the context in which that verse was given. What was the anointed man of God and why God or why the Bible says that do not touch the anointed of God. People don't understand the context, but it becomes something of a defense. They defend themselves through that. Or people defend their men, so-called men and women of God through that. Don't touch them. It's okay. That's okay. Now bring up a scripture, the word that is written in the Bible. Just bring it and try to make it as if you don't believe in that word. Put it in front of everyone. You'll be so shocked and surprised. Maybe only few people will try to justify that word. Why? Because people are not into the word. That means they are not concerned about the Messiah. They're not. People are not concerned about God himself or Elohim. They're not concerned about him. But they are concerned about the man that so-called Elohim has appointed. While that man is not taking them or is not teaching them the word that they're supposed to defend. But the man is teaching them something else, a thing Elohim. Things that they do not know. When you bring the Bible in front of them and say, defend this word, they cannot defend it. But they are well placed to defend a man. They can even die for the man. They can fight for the man. And there are a lot of heresies that are coming in the church that you will ask yourself a question, what's going on? I heard someday a big man of God, so-called man, big man of God, I don't know if it's a big man of God, but this is, I mean, the argument said, he comes and stands on his pulpit. He tells people, if you don't give tithe, you'll go to hell. Then I say, okay, where is this people coming from? And he turned to the pastors of his congregation, those who have other churches, and said, go to your churches and speak to your people. Tell them, if they don't give tithe, they'll go to hell. I said, what scripture is that one? I don't see any scripture that says, if you don't give your tithe, you go to hell. Show me that scripture. But because the man has already built up a certain reputation, he has a church whereby if he has to go for a service, according to what we have come to know, the man cannot steal or steal all. He must build a stadium for him to have a service. Now, a man like that, you've been preaching all along. All these years you've been teaching. And today you bring up something like, if you don't pay your tithe, you go to hell. Who will say no to that? Everyone will say, yeah, he's a man of God. This is, he has been speaking with God all along. Now, can you just imagine a man of God coming and say, I was sitting on my dining and I was sitting and God came, Elohim came and sat and we drank tea together. Elohim coming from heaven, coming to your house, and you sit with him and drinking tea with him. And people say, amen, hallelujah. You see, how can people bring up something? Another one will come and say, look, I can call heaven now and pick up the phone and call heaven and talk into heaven. Another one comes and says, well, they are speaking in tongues. They are exchanging words in tongues. One pastor, another one, they are speaking in tongues. This one says this, this one says that. And people say, hallelujah. Amen. But you see, they can, you know, the way they can bring up something, because you've been so used to this life. And then, as you've been teaching me all along, they've got your pieces, and these people are now, they're stupid, they don't understand what we're doing there. If we come up with something, you bring it, we call it spiritual, people will accept. Someone coming and say, I don't go into this gospel thing, this gospel for you, pastor. Me, I go into spiritism in the church. Say, me, I touch the spiritual thing, but the gospel is for you, for you, pastor. You can teach the, you can teach the gospel, but after you go into the spiritual realm, you operate in the spiritual realm. I said, but what's the difference between spiritual realm and the gospel? What are you talking about? The word of God is spirit. The Bible says the word of God is spirit and life. You know, all these things because of greed, because of what they want to achieve. And when Apostle Paul says, do not be careful from the church that you've been appointed. You've been given a responsibility. And he continued by saying, I know that sooner I will leave, but among you there will be ferocious wolf who will rise from this. And their purpose will be to disperse the flock. Their job is to do that, and they won't do any other thing to distort the truth. Because their purpose is to make the truth not be accepted anymore. And this is what is exactly happening nowadays. And I'm sorry, let me just end by this, by saying, we'll be so surprised and so shocked that scripture of Matthew 7, when the Bible says that the gate to life is narrow, while the gate to death is wide. And today I'm kind of now believing more to say that people who have new churches, they need to be very careful. Because it's not a matter of being in a youth church where there is a pastor that is well known that everyone can talk about that makes you, that gives you a guarantee to see them in to see heaven. I believe it will require people will be mature, people will stand on the truth in other personality and we stand on certain dignity. We stick to that narrow gate in order to walk on that narrow road that not everyone found. Because the Bible says it's something you need to look for. It's not easy. And I start believing, I say, it's true that today we are into movements that do not really glorify God, not glorify anyone at all. But the movement whereby we think that whatever we hear from the pulpit has become, to be honest, to be in the church whereby you start the service and at one point they have to stop the service because somehow they have to celebrate the pastor's birthday, to celebrate the pastor, whatever. So that, it's good you can celebrate the pastor's birthday. But can't you do it in another setup, another place, not in the church? Please give this place give it value. I think respect this place. Do the service. You think you cannot do your own thing. But you can see there are days today that church is over, the service can start from the beginning of the day. They're just celebrating the pastor. Our papa, they need to celebrate him. And you see how much money they're going to throw for that papa. But while the work of God is suffering, people out there do not have food, cannot even help in whatever way. But you can see people out there, all the men
Right, we're taking your calls. You can give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. We are talking about vanities that appear as the gospel. Those vanities, those things which appear as the gospel. The time has just gone on to just a little bit before 10 past 7. So you can call in and talk to us just as much. And send us your WhatsApps. It's 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours. 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.